"Let me just run this by my lawyer" is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
With AT&T in-car Wi-Fi, elevate your adventure by transforming your vehicle into a reliable Wi-Fi hotspot. Connect up to 10 devices up to 50 feet away from your vehicle, making it ideal for camping and road trips. Don't miss out on the fun. Embark on your next adventure today. Visit att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to check if you're eligible for a free trial. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about your out-of-pocket costs. That can be a lot of money. But are your bills accurate? It's estimated over 50% of medical bills contain errors. HealthLock can help. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. To save, visit HealthLock.com today.
KFI AM 640. You're listening to the John Cobell podcast on the iHeartRadio app.
Around 1 until 4, then after 4 o'clock, John Cobell show on demand. The podcast, same as the radio show, you can listen to whatever you missed or listen to it all over again. Quite a sight to wake up to this morning. You turn on the news and a huge bridge in Baltimore crashing into the water after a container ship rammed into it. It's the Francis Scott Key Bridge. Francis Scott Key, who wrote what became the Star-Spangled Banner. And he apparently wrote it nearby. And so they named the bridge after him. And it took a hit from this container ship and just collapsed like it was made of Legos. It was really strange to see that. Six members of construction crew were working on the bridge at the time, filling potholes, and they were thrown into the water, and they're still missing. Two others were pulled out. Why this happened? Well, we're going to start with Derek Dennis with ABC News and get an update here on the latest. Derek, what's going on?
You know, why it happened, still a big question, but we know how it happened. Authorities confirmed pretty early on this morning that a container ship lost propulsion, lost power, and rammed into a support piling to this bridge, causing it to buckle and twist and then fall dramatically into the river below. This collapse, catastrophic, there's just no other way to put it. It basically destroyed this bridge, rendered it gone. Essentially, a major bridge, four-lane bridge, built in 1977, is no more. And you talked about the six people who remain unaccounted for, workers on the bridge at the time of the collapse, filling potholes. The NTSB, the lead on this investigation, saying that that's the number they're working with, but they wouldn't commit to the fact that there could be more or less that they're looking for. The chairwoman, Jennifer Homedy, saying, you know, crews are searching for people, however many people there are. They're not putting a number on it. They're looking for survivors.
There was nobody driving on the roadway. They had vehicles from the construction crew and they had the workers. But there was a mayday call from the ship, and they were able to block traffic from getting on the bridge right before it was going to go down.
That Mayday call being credited by authorities up and down, including President Biden, with saving lives, because it did give police and the transportation authority, the bridge, time to stop traffic on the road leading up to the bridge, as well as other ships in the area to keep them from the area, because the Mayday call indicated that it was likely going to crash. That container ship, and that's exactly what happened. But enough time was allowed from that Mayday call to get everybody to be away from the collapse when it happened, definitely saving lives.
Yeah, this ship was almost, 1,000 feet long?
Right, weighing about 98,000 pounds. That's the number. But probably a lot heavier with all the containers on board. I mean, imagine a massive ship loaded with shipping containers leaving the port of Baltimore and then going down the river here in South Baltimore, headed out to the Atlantic Ocean on its way to Sri Lanka. That's where it was headed when this collapse happened, this crash happened. We learned from the NTSB that there are data recorders on board the ship that they want to get their hands on, but they haven't gone on board the ship yet to get them because they don't want to get in the way of the search and rescue eventual recovery mission that's underway right now.
So there's very little information, obviously. I mean, have they held any press conferences yet to try to explain what went on, or we pretty much only know what we've seen so far?
No, there have been a number of news conferences, the latest one from the NTSB. And a big question that was posed to the NTSB is, you know, if the ship was losing power and or had lost power, why didn't it drop anchor? Or did it drop anchor? That presumably would have stopped the ship and prevented it from crashing into the side of the bridge, preventing the collapse. That's a big question for the NTSB. They promised the media and the public that they would get to the bottom of that they would get an answer. But it's just too early to get some of these major questions answered. But they promise that they'll get to the bottom of it in the next day or so.
All right, Derek Dennis from ABC News. Thank you very much. Thank you for coming on. All right, Derek Dennis there. This Baltimore is a busy port. They've got 50. They had 52 million tons of foreign cargo transported in 2023. I mean, as you said, this thing was on the way to Sri Lanka. And the bridge is known as a truss bridge, a continuous truss bridge, and it's the third largest of its kind in the world. There was a wide, and it's built so that big cargo ships can pass under it. There was plenty of room for that ship, but the ship was just way out of alignment there. If you watch the videotape closely, the lights on the ship go out, then they come back on, then they go out again. And that's when it hits the support structure underneath the bridge. There looked to be black smoke pouring out of the back of the ship. So they had some terrible power failure. And I don't know if they have, you know, backup systems, how all that works, but the thing was on its own, and there was obviously no way to stop it. And so it hits the bridge, and the bridge starts to collapse. And there were first reports that there were cars on the bridge, but they may have been the construction vehicles. There definitely were 8 construction workers, 2 of them rescued, 6 of them missing and presumed dead. And they were able to block any new cars from coming on. It happened at 1:30 in the morning. It was dark, and you know, that kind of thing happens during the day, and there's hundreds of cars on the bridge. It's part of Interstate 695. It's the beltway that goes round and round Baltimore. We will have more on this coming up. In fact, a clip. One Baltimore resident was awakened when he heard the ship crashing into the bridge. We'll play that for you next.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
Coming up in to the 1:30 news with Deborah, we are going to talk to Steve Gregory. It's the day after the massive raid by Homeland Security into into Diddy's estate, Sean Combs, the rap star and producer and executive. They also raided his Miami home as well. And they also located Diddy, I believe, at an airport in Miami. And he was questioned there, but he has not been arrested and not been charged. And we'll see what Steve Gregory knows. First in the world to have that story yesterday in Holmby Hills. All right, the ship. It was, not to be morbid, it was fascinating to see the ship slowly come crashing down into the water there. It's hard to believe the force that container ship had. Yeah, to knock the bridge down. That was something else. It also made a big noise because the video that is showing is a live stream video from a distance, and there's no audio to it. But here's a description by a guy named John. He lives in Baltimore, and he got awakened in the middle of the night by the ship crashing into the bridge.
It's unbelievable. I've been in this neighborhood 57 years. I remember when they started building that bridge, and can't believe it's gone.
Tell me what it felt and sounded like to you.
Like an earthquake. Sounded like a big bash of thunder, and then just, like I say, felt like an earthquake. The whole house vibrated, like my house was falling down.
Did you ever think something like that would happen?
No, never thought in the wildest dreams that this would happen, never. Never thought it would happen.
And describe from your viewpoint, you know, just how things have evolved. Have you seen the police response? I hear choppers in the air.
Yes, I heard a lot of fire equipment, a lot of police, seen a lot of police boats going out and see a lot of fire equipment underneath the bridge. It's just unbelievable. Unbelievable.
All right. That's John, who lives nearby, and he heard the big bang. Now, the history of this port, because Baltimore is a major port city, and it was to protect the port from invaders like the British. The U.S. built Fort McHenry in 1798. So this was just a short time after the Declaration of Independence. That's 1798, and then the British invaded during the War of 1812. And so Fort McHenry was very useful, and that's what inspired Francis Scott Key to write a poem called Defense of Fort McHenry. And later it was renamed the Star-Spangled Banner. And then later they set it to music and it became the national anthem. So it's quite the historic area there. And Fort McHenry is maintained by the National Park Service. And one of the most beautiful things when you go to the fort, the view is this Francis Scott Key Bridge, which was completed in 1977. And it was named after him because it was close to the spot where he was on a ship and he wrote the poem that became the national anthem. So one of the bridge supports was struck by the container ship known as the Dolly. That's its name. About 1:30 this morning. And the Dolly was leaving Baltimore for Colombo, Sri Lanka. Thousands of containers on board. It's managed by two Singaporean companies. It's also registered in Singapore, and it was being leased by this gigantic Danish shipping company called Maersk at the time of the crash. And if you look at the video, you see the power going on and off, the lights going on and off. And during that time, the ship strayed off course. So when the power went off, it means their navigational system didn't work anymore. And now everybody's investigating. They call it a continuous truss bridge because it allows for a wider span than an ordinary truss bridge. So the ships have more room to pass. National Review did a great explanation of exactly why the bridge was constructed this way. It's the third longest span of any continuous truss bridge in the world, 1,200 feet. And the Dolly is 157 feet wide. So obviously there was plenty of room for the Dolly to get under the bridge if they had gone down the middle. And ships usually go nowhere near the supports for obvious reasons. The way continuous truss bridges are constructed, it distributes the weight throughout the entire bridge. And because of that, if one part of the structure fails, then the whole thing is going to collapse. There is no information that the Key Bridge had any safety problems, any maintenance problems. It all rated well as late as 2023. And it's part of the interstate highway system, Interstate 695, which is the beltway around Baltimore. And Baltimore is also the largest roll-on, roll-off port in the United States. Because in many ports, you have to use cranes to load and unload the cargo. But the Baltimore port is constructed in a way where the cargo can be wheeled on and off. And cars, trucks, farm machinery. So Baltimore specializes in those categories. So this is going to be a huge jolt to the Baltimore economy because the port itself employs, you know, thousands of workers, and then it's responsible for about 140,000 jobs in the area. And it's one of the main ports for the Northeast. I mean, there's tens of millions of people living within driving distance of Baltimore. So it's a major shipping route. So this is going to have ramifications all across the country in terms of disrupting shipping. Probably will add money to the cost of transportation, probably lead to higher prices for products, more inflation. It's usually what happens when you have a disruption this big. It's also going to take quite a while to rebuild that thing. I mean, this really is going to cause a problem for years. The governor of Maryland, Wes Moore, said it's going to be a long-term build. It's also a big port for the cruise industry. Carnival, Norwegian, Royal Caribbean, they carry almost 500,000 passengers across the Patapsco River. That is the river that runs underneath the bridge. And you know what cracked me up, though, is after the bridge fell, they woke up Pete Buttigieg in the middle of the night.
Why did that crack you up?
Huh? Because it was Pete Buttigieg. It's like, what is that little worm going to do?
You didn't want him to have a restful night.
Well, he's already being kept up, you know, because of his kids. Remember, he was on paternity leave for quite a while when the whole world was collapsing with infrastructure problems coming out of COVID.
Well, you'll get to hear what he has to say in my newscast.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Oh.
I have a soundbite of him.
All right, great. People used to think he was going to be president someday.
Yeah.
We'll listen to that. And then after Deborah's news, we got Steve Gregory coming on to talk about day two. Day one, actually, post Diddy invasion, where Homeland Security did a massive raid on his properties here in L.A. and also in Miami.
Let me just run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/news. That's LifeLock.com/news to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
With AT&T in-car Wi-Fi, elevate your adventure by transforming your vehicle into a reliable Wi-Fi hotspot. Connect up to 10 devices up to 50 feet away from your vehicle, making it ideal for camping and road trips. Don't miss out on the fun. Embark on your next adventure today. Visit att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to check if you're eligible for a free trial. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
Coming up after 2 o'clock, we're going to talk with one of the producers of a new docuseries on Fox News's streaming service, Fox Nation. It's called Menendez Brothers, Victims or Villains. It's taking a look 30 years later at the Lyle and Eric Menendez trials, their convictions, and a new look at the evidence. And in the modern climate, would they have received such a harsh sentence? Would they even have been convicted? The sex abuse excuse from 30 years ago wasn't flying, but would it fly today? So I'm going to talk with Nicole Rittenmeyer, one of the producers. And I gave some interviews for this. So if you watch it, you'll see me. And there's also some old video of us doing the Fry the Menendez yard sale from a long time ago. And I'll play a promo clip from it in the next segment, and then we'll talk to Nicole coming up after 2 o'clock. All right. Yesterday at this time, Steve Gregory was reporting live from Sean Diddy Combs' mansion estate right in front. And yeah. They had done a heck of it was like an invasion. It's a raid, but it really looked like a military invasion here and in Miami. Over possible sex trafficking charges down the road. Talk about it.
Yeah, so this is what a federal operation looks like. They don't mess around. And I'm not saying that the SWAT teams from the local agencies here don't take it seriously. They absolutely do. But when the feds roll in, like there's a kind of a special elevation to the severity of the case. And as we talked about yesterday, there is an investigation underway. With allegations that Sean Combs could be tied to some sort of a sex trafficking ring of some kind, and his son could be involved in it. And now other names are starting to come out of the woodwork. In fact, at one point, it was being recommended that this could be a Jeffrey Epstein thing all over again in the music world now. And a lot of this is stemming from lawsuits that had been filed by his ex-girlfriend, another music producer named Rodney Jones Jr., known as Lil Rod. He filed a lawsuit last month accusing Diddy of groping him while they worked together on Diddy's album, The Love Album, Off the Grid. The lawsuit also includes allegations that Diddy and his son engaged in sex trafficking venture. Diddy's attorney has come out and vehemently denied all of these allegations and said that this particular music producer, Rodney Jones Jr., is just out for a payday and that he's lying. But there's a lot of accusations and allegations coming out. And as you know, when these things break, people start coming out of the woodwork. Yesterday, in front of his home on 200 South Mapleton Drive in Holmby Hills, agents went into his house. And what they were looking for, we don't know specifically, but I can tell you based on experience and what other forensics folks have told me, is that they're looking for evidence that ties him directly to these allegations. And that probably is in the form of video.
Yeah. It seems what his friends and acquaintances are saying is it seems that there were sex parties that were going on at the mansion. And so I guess the crime is, where did they get the girls for these parties?
Right. And was it consensual? And were they being drugged? Were they, you know, there's a whole host of these allegations, and the fact that it was also done simultaneously at a property in Miami. Now, the property here in L.A. is actually owned by Combs' company, Bad Boys Film Production. But, I mean, this is where he lived, so it was in the name of his company. Not sure who the deed owner is at the property in Miami. And but then there was also this all this talk yesterday about his plane and about him taking off to Antigua or escaping to Antigua. Now, the thing is that no one could ever say with any specificity whether or not Combs was actually seen in Antigua. But his plane was there based on a tail number. Now, I had been told that Diddy was being closely watched on the East Coast somewhere. While all this was going on, they would not have made this operation happen if they could not account for his whereabouts. So they knew where he was at the whole time.
They ended up finding him in Florida, right?
Eventually.
Okay. Yeah.
Eventually. But that's not where he started. So the idea that he somehow was escaping or whatnot, I had also been told by local law enforcement that he wasn't aware that his homes were being searched while all this was
going on. Oh, is it a coincidence that he was flying to the East
Coast?
Well,
see... we don't know. We don't know what his motives were. And it could just completely be a coincidence. This will all come out eventually. But I think, as we discussed before, when it comes to a federal case like this, it takes a while to build these cases. And with the feds, time is on their side. They're in no hurry. They will work and work and work. If you think about Mark Ridley Thomas and Jose Huizar and all those folks, they had no idea what was going on. They didn't see it coming.
Yeah, which is fascinating, because those cases took several years to investigate and build. And you would think with a time span that long, something would leak. Somehow they'd get a tip.
The feds, amazingly, are very good at keeping that stuff close to the vest. Now, Homeland Security Investigations, the lead agency on this, they are a part of the Department of Homeland Security. But a lot of people have been sort of mischaracterizing that. Homeland Security was at the house. No. Because Homeland Security would kind of intimate there was a terrorist thing going on. But Homeland Security Investigations specializes in trafficking cases, whether it's human trafficking, cyber trafficking, drug trafficking. They specialize in it because it's transnational. So it's crossing countries and boundaries, international boundaries.
So because they're involved, though, it's reasonable to suspect that maybe girls were being, and boys were being brought in from other countries.
It could be presumed that's the case, and especially if his plane was down in Antigua. Maybe there was some sort of a thing going on where they were flying them all over different parts of the Caribbean or in Mexico or Brazil or something. I don't know.
Right, because if he was just having parties for local people in the music industry, you wouldn't get federal interest in that.
This would not necessarily
be a suspected violation of federal law.
Unless stuff that was happening was being posted online somehow. Again, any kind of an intercontinental or some of the transnational cross county lines or state lines, anything that goes beyond the local jurisdiction becomes a federal issue.
Well, he certainly has a lot of smoke swirling around him. I mean, there's quite a few lawsuits.
Yeah.
And he's settled some and he's got more coming, and it's about behavior going back, for over 20 years.
There was one outlet that published a story that said that they spotted him in Miami at a private municipal airport there, pacing back and forth. And that was around the time that somebody that was named in one of the lawsuits, identified as Diddy's drug mule, was taken into custody yesterday, arrested for having possession of marijuana, I think it was yesterday. So that had happened also. And I don't know if it was tied at all to this or if that was part of a separate investigation. But the fact that this guy was arrested yesterday and his name is listed in one of these lawsuits as, quote unquote, Diddy's drug mule. So that could also be a part of this. And, people like that are going to roll. Typically, they do. So they said they characterized Diddy as pacing back and forth. So I'm not sure whether, it shows that he's really worried. Whether he was just upset the plane wasn't leaving on time.
I think if you got
catering services hadn't shown up yet.
Homeland Security raiding both your mansions. Plus, all these guys, they know what they did. They know what they did, and they know they're in trouble. All he can do is probably try to migrate to a country that doesn't have an extradition agreement.
It was weird yesterday, where I was positioned right there at the yellow tape, there must have been five different cars rolling up with young men in them, Bentleys, Mercedes, high-end electric Mercedes and BMWs and Lamborghinis pulling up. And they were all trying to get access through the tape to go up to this house. It was very interesting to watch.
They weren't deterred by the massive law enforcement response.
I don't know that they didn't know that that what was going on is what I'm saying. I don't know if they knew by that time.
Right.
But then at some point, we had a bunch of young men driving up in very, very high-end vehicles that were like spouting stuff about Diddy. You know, by then they had known what was going on. But those are usually, you know, the kooks that come to the circus. Yeah. But they were spouting stuff about they knew that they knew what he was doing. I mean, it really brought out some of the craziness.
It seems like the neighbors have stories about all kinds of insanity going on in the middle of the night frequently.
Right.
There were wild parties going on regularly.
Yeah, the one young guy I interviewed yesterday, he talked about the fact that he would see at all hours of the night these young women coming out, as he quoted, scantily clad women. And coming out and getting into limos and getting into Suburbans and at 2 and 3 in the morning, pool parties and all kinds of stuff going on at all hours of the night. And then he said on his own, he said, now it all makes sense. Is that how he put it?
So, I mean, it looked like there was sex trafficking going on,
I guess. And here's the thing, you know, and there's been some allegations that some of these people that these plaintiffs are underage. Again, none of this has been proven. This is all allegation in the form of civil lawsuits. But that's what Homeland Security Investigations was doing yesterday. They're gathering the evidence to find out if it's going to move from a civil issue to a criminal issue. And if it becomes a criminal issue, then it you know, elevates it to a whole new level.
All right, Steve. Exciting day yesterday. Good stuff.
Yes.
And the way these investigations go, could this go quiet now for a long period of time?
No, because of who he is and the fact that the entertainment media are now involved,
yeah,
and TMZ and whatnot. I'm already seeing multiple angles of this story. I mean, they're gonna milk this thing for everything they can, and then it'll eventually go dark.
All right, Steve Gregory, KFI News. Thanks. We come back after Deborah's news. Eric and Lyle Menendez, they killed their parents 35 years ago in Beverly Hills. Whole generation has gone by, probably is not familiar. They were 18 and 21 at the time. They murdered their parents, Jose and Mary Louise, while the parents were watching TV. And eventually their defense was that they'd been sexually abused by dad in a particularly vicious way. The first jury hung, the second jury convicted them. And there is now a documentary called Menendez Brothers, Victims or Villains. It's 4 parts. It's premiering on Fox News, their streaming service, Fox Nation, premiered yesterday. And I gave interviews for it. They have some old video of our show covering the Menendez situation. And we're going to talk to Nicole Rittenmeyer, one of the producers, coming up in a few minutes. Actually, what I'll do is I'll play a promo clip in the next segment, and then we'll talk to Nicole after the 2 o'clock news.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
So back in the early 90s, well, actually, the murder took place in 1989. But in the early 90s, the Menendez brothers seemed to become the center of the tabloid world. They were rich, obnoxious kids from a wealthy Beverly Hills family. Dad was in the music industry. And one day they blow their heads off. The Menendez brothers kill their parents while they're watching television. And it was never a doubt that they did it. It took several years for it to go to trial. First trial was hung. Second trial was a guilty verdict. And as time went on, they became more aggressive trying to excuse their murders by saying they were sexually abused by their dad, Jose. Fox Nation has a documentary, 4-part series on it, and it's called Menendez Brothers, Victims or Villains, because it seemed as time went on, people became more comfortable with using abuse as an excuse to commit murder. And it's an interesting angle to take. I talked with them quite a bit, so there's some of me in the story, and there's footage of our show back around 1994 as well that you could see in the documentary. Let me play a 2-minute preview here. Before we have, after the 2 o'clock news, we're going to have Nicole Rittenmeyer on, who is one of the producers of the show. So play this clip.
Lyle and Eric Menendez were motivated by greed.
They were as unlikable a pair of defendants as you'll ever see.
These two rich kids killed their parents, and now they think this whole thing is a joke.
They're two greedy little brats.
So many more people know it through the myth than through the reality. when it just becomes entertainment and spectacle, we just kind of disassociate from it.
A Los Angeles judge sentenced each brother to two consecutive life terms for the killings of their wealthy parents.
There are real people. There is real suffering at the heart of this story.
It just goes round and round, and television reflects society, and society reflects television.
Between the ages of 6 and 8, did your father have sexual contact with you?
Yes.
They needed a conviction at any cost, and it became the Menendezes who bore the brunt of that.
I said, oh my God, this is rigged.
Out of nowhere, seemingly, TikTok reinvigorated this case.
It's okay to mock abuse victims as long as it's a boy and not a girl.
Gender has nothing to do with who is safe and who isn't.
A number of people understand that if these were the Menendez sisters, they would not be in custody right now.
This was a family environment that was run by fear.
There is a tremendous amount of evidence, and in my view, convincing evidence that abuse was taking place in that home.
They couldn't imagine a father abusing his sons, and they didn't want to be perceived as believing them.
How could these people be killed by their own children?
And that is a clip from the Fox Nation documentary, Menendez Brothers Victims or Villains. Get that title right, right? Victims or Villains. And the thing about that case is what I remember is their Menendez Brothers did not have many fans. They had some young groupies, girl groupies. And that was about it. I mean, everybody was just repulsed by the two brothers, repulsed by their lawyer at the time, Leslie Abramson. And it was just so, you know, you just wanted to kill them yourself. They had that kind of smug, arrogant, rich, elitist attitude. And a lot of people, and I still feel this way, don't want to get into the business of finding an excuse for murdering two people, because everybody's got a different line then. You can walk out the front door. You can get the hell out. And I don't ever buy this idea that, well, you don't know what it's like to be abused. You just can't leave. Yes, you can leave. You walk out of the house, one foot in front of the other, start the car, and get moving. But you start justifying murder based on how you say you were treated. Boy, that's a terrible slippery slope. Then and it happens today. Everybody's embracing the abuse that they've suffered and using it to excuse all kinds of absurd behavior. It's supposed to be an automatic shield. We're going to talk to Nicole Rittenmeyer. She's one of the producers of this miniseries, which is four parts, half hour each. And it's on Fox Nation, and it's streaming now. And we'll talk to her next. Deborah Mark, live in the KFI 24-hour newsroom.
Hey, you've been listening to the John Cobalt Show podcast. You can always hear the show live on KFI AM 640 from 1 to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday. And, of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA. today.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity, designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. Gainbridge is helping build a better financial future for women. Retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.